This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love.
Breaking news. God never considered you an enemy, nor will he. Number two, you will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Number three, lake of hellfire was not meant for you. Number four, Satan has no power nor authority to cast you into hell. Number five, there is a pathway in your darkest moments. But first, God never considered you an enemy, nor will he.
Want to hear something new that will give them hope or tell them of the unfolding developments from what they knew. There is the quest to know what is next, what is happening. The situation is disheartening, disturbing. It is cloudy and fuzzy. People are grouping in the darkness. You may be having a situation that is hopeless. You want to give up instead of being determined to continue. We all want to have good news, something to inspire us, something to encourage us. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for you are always having good news for us. In the midst of chaos, confusion, uncertainties, to hear you speak is encouraging. To know that one who loves and cares and is able to help us is always with us. I pray, as we listen to you by looking into your word, I pray that we will be encouraged, inspired today to carry on till we see you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you have heard from the intro, the very first breaking news. By the way, this is not a TV station, a radio broadcasting station. Rather, we are carriers of the gospel good news commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ to bring this good news for those in need of it. And I believe one of these, if not all, of these breaking news points, making headlines in the spiritual realm across the world, is timely for you, your family, your church, your community. Therefore, I ask you to sit attentively to the very last point. For those who are used to typing a sermon title, I have this to say. Each of these breaking news points is a title. Okay, to the very first breaking news. God never considered you an enemy, nor will he. God never considered you an enemy, nor will he. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And we shall be coming back to this. So sit on that Romans 5, verse 10. I read to your hearing. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? I would like to read the ESV version, and it goes like this. For since our friendship with God was restored, so it was broken before, we are, as NIV say, God's enemies, restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly, I like the word, certainly be saved through the life of His Son. Assurance, certainty, no doubt. For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more now? You know, when it comes to enmity, animosity, hostility, call it hatred, those things are possible between these two parties that are involved in this animosity, hostility. One, it is possible that both parties are actively involved in hating each other. And it is also possible that it is just one party that is hating and the other one is not. And in fact, the other one could be ignorant of what is happening. So when it comes to this Romans chapter 5 verse 10, the first few words there, verse 10a, I'm asking, how do you read it? In other words, how do you understand it? It says what? For if, while we were God's enemies, does it mean God Almighty was hating you and you are hating God? Does it make sense that way? Why, were we all enemies? He was our enemy and we are His enemies. A God who is love, one who loves you eternally. Well, if you go to John chapter 15 verse 13, what it reveals is kind of in conflict with what we may be supposing, that we were enemies to God and God was also an enemy to us. John chapter 15 verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. A friend, not an enemy? How could an enemy lay down his life for an enemy? Well, reality, practically, I know time to time we have issues with God. Moments you feel as things are working against you, and God, that you know that He's God of love, is not stepping in at those moments of your expectation. Painfully enough, you trusted Him, and you know these things He can do or provide without any sweat. That is what things are done. And in fact, what you are even asking Him are things that could bring Him glory. You stuck your integrity. You stood in line to defend Him. But things just turned worse. Well, from where we read, we should not just jump to conclusion. He laid down His life for us. He called us friends, not enemies. From God's side, we have never been His enemies. Therefore, don't allow the enemy anymore to incite you against the lover of your soul. Yes, he may be angry. He may be sad for the things you have done, but you are not his enemy. Know this truth, that God will always come around. He's always closer when things go wrong. And He's coming around to help you solve the matter. Consider Genesis chapter 3, right from the very beginning, what happened? We saw that character of God when things go around. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 18 to 13, if you read, Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. God knew the moment when man broke the rule. Indeed, even before the fallout. Because God knows the thoughts of a man even before he carries the action. And God, where he was in his place, he had angels like Gabriel, Michael, the archangels, at his disposal, ready to take care of matters when they go wrong. But God did not send them. This is probably God is saying, this is a big problem, this is personal. God did not want any in-between us. He doesn't want angels to go. He personally wanted to see to it. And you know one thing, God was not in a rush, like mad. Well, I can say that because the Bible tells me that man had even time to make clothing of leaves around him. And then the word of God says, God went in the cool of the evening, and in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 it says, they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, the Lord God, among the trees of the garden, hiding in the place of God. Hiding in the presence of God. You see, they had the sound, the voice. That tells me there is kind of intimacy. He did not see him, but he heard, and he was able to say, this is God coming in. So he talks about their intimacy, and in a place, garden is a place of pleasure, romance. They were there, friendship. Relationship, fellowship. So I believe God went to meet the man with the intent of having a dialogue. Even though he was angry, but he did not allow angels to go and remove man completely. He came first and he was there hoping to meet him inside where probably they used to meet. But man was not there. Therefore, he started calling, Adam, where are you? So if you look at the time God took before coming, look at the questions that God was asking. God was ready to listen. What did you do? Adam, what did you do? He went to the woman, what did you do? Certainly, God was looking for a conversation, a dialogue. He was looking. And I want to tell you today, God has not changed till today. I will not. He's the same God. And he has the same heart. The same attribute, the same character. He's able, no matter how we hurt him, how we disobey him, when things go wrong, he's willing to have a dialogue. That's a good breaking news for all of us. It says what? Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. No matter how terrible and bad and dirty and messed up you feel, God is coming around the corner. And he's not coming with this rod of wrath to hit you. But he's coming. In Isaiah 43, 26, he said, look, let us argue the matter together. State the case. State your case. I'm willing to listen. What happened, Adam? What happened? Therefore, brothers and sisters, children in the house of God, whenever you fall, know this, God is coming personally to you. He comes to seek dialogue, conversation. He wants to be reconciled with you. No matter the issue, no matter how bad it is, He is there. Remember this. And I believe it's the good news. Therefore, your first breaking news, and don't forget, whenever there is any matter, know that God desires dialogue with you in order to help you, in order to be reconciled. Yes, as I've said, you may cause God to be angry, to be unhappy with you, but He is always there for a dialogue, willing to forgive. Will you be willing to receive this extended hand of reconciliation with God at any time you are in trouble? Amen. Let's go to the second breaking news. It says what? You will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. You will certainly, the word certainly, sure, 100%, no doubt, you will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. I know many that hold to the doctrine, once saved, always saved. I have my reservation on that. But the certainty I want to emphasize here is you will be saved. But there is a caveat there that we'll find out later. But let's read Romans chapter 5 again, but that verse 10, for if while we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? As I said, I like where it says, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. Through the life of His Son. Through the life of any other thing, we cannot be saved. But once we are in Him, we can be sure. We have to look at what God has given us. If He has given us His Son while we were yet sinners, you know, it's something like preparing a package, the best package for your enemy, unknown to him. Generally speaking, when you give all you have to something, to have something, is that something worth or not worthy? Of course, it is worthy. Not worthless. You cannot give your best for a worthless thing. Let me give a further illustration to demonstrate what I'm saying. In investment, supposing you have only $100, usually from experience, in investment principle, best advice, never invest all, no matter how sure the investment is. There is always a risk. Another fact in investment, supposing if you invest, let's say, $50, you expect some returns, profit, dividend. Yes, hardly you can have the same amount invested. It's very rare. You invest 100, you get 100 back. But you will have some profit. And your capital is sure, intact. That's right. Good investment. You invest 50, you may get some dividend. All right? 20, 30, you are okay. You are okay to go. But here is a question. One thing for sure, could you ever invest in any business, be it the best investment stock, to invest in a business or stocks, you are clearly told that you will lose your capital. And if there is any return, it will not be exactly what you invested. It will be even less. You lose your capital, and your return is insignificant. I believe no one in their right thinking mind would venture into such business. Your capital is gone, and what you are getting is insignificant as a return. It does not matter whoever is running such business. No matter how truthful the business tycoon, the investor is, you will not. But when it comes to God, I wonder if God is a good businessman. Why do I ask that question? This is God who created everything, wealth, silver and gold belongs to Him. Why didn't He use it to redeem man? Simply, if they could have redeemed man, if they are worth you, He could have used you. Nothing is worth you. Nothing is worth you, not silver and gold of this life. Not the pleasures of this world. Not the power, whatever it is. Not popularity. If you understand what I'm asking, why are you dying because of silver and gold? Do you understand what I'm saying? If God sees that you are worth more than silver and gold and nothing could have redeemed you but His Son, then why are you dying for this gold and silver? Don't you realize you are more than that? Well, I've asked the question, is God a good businessman? I believe He's a good businessman. A businessman. He gave His only one son. But look at it. And now He's having many sons and daughters coming back home. Hallelujah. He's a good businessman. And He's teaching us. He gave the very best. If we give Him the very best, we shall have return more than what we gave Him. Hallelujah. Never do business with Satan. Satan is a bad business being. He gives you and takes away. He destroys, He kills. Stop doing business with the enemy of your soul. Now, it's okay. Even if you don't know how much you are worth, can you trust God about the promises He makes? You see, God is more concerned about His name. His name talks about His authority and reputation, His integrity. His name reflects His nature, His character. His word is flawless and perfect. Whatever He speaks or promises, He carries it out and fulfills it. The word of God says about Him, in His word, the word of God, in Psalms 138 verse 2, "For you have exalted your word above all your name." Now, I know there are controversies, different explanations. What does it mean? So I like the ES version. The ES version says, "I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things." For you have exalted above all things. "I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness." So when God said in John chapter 10 verse 28, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you will certainly remain saved if you remain in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. No one can snatch you out of God's hand. No one has the power, the ability. No plot, no cancer can take you, can snatch you out. Therefore, this Romans chapter 5 verse 10, brothers and sisters, the giving of God's Son is the insurance policy for all of us. The insurance policy. And you better know that God's insurance policy is not like the insurance policy makers of this world, where always they have clauses here and there that surprises you when things go wrong. The only condition that God gives for the certainty of your salvation, if you remain in Him, if you remain in the Son, the rest is certain for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us continue. Once we remain in the Son, we are destined. Salvation is sure. Heaven is sure. Eternity is sure with God, no matter what. We can make mistakes while we are in Him. We can falter. And whenever something goes wrong, remember He's always coming. But because He gave His Son, you are of value. Because of one mistake, the other, God will say He will send you to lake of fire. No. And that is what the third point is talking about. The lake of hellfire was not meant for you. Was not meant for you. If you read between this, if you understand this sentence, it is talking as if was not meant. But is it meant now? We shall find out. But thank God. And I want you to just say, thank you, Lord, that the lake of hellfire is not meant for me. And that is true. That is true. Despite the situation, despite how bad you think you are, it is true. Lake of hellfire was not meant for you. Actually, I want to believe the lake of hellfire was created before man was created. Well, that's just my own thought. And when it was created for a purpose. Now, let me throw in a big question that is quite disturbing or puzzling. And here is the question. Hear me clear. Did God have mankind in mind when He created hellfire? The lake of hellfire. Did God have mankind in mind? Well, for me, let me just say, I really don't know. But I would rather go by His word. You see, when it comes to God's sovereign purposes, man is not in the place. It's not in the place to discern it. Some of you, if you remember, in one of my sermons on the topic, when it does not make sense, when you hit the wall, in that sermon we were reminded there are things that are not revealed to us. They are secret things to the Lord. Actually, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It reads, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." There are things that are secret to the Lord, and there are things He has revealed, they are for us. So that what? We will follow, obey Him in all things. So for me, I choose to respect and honor what is revealed. You see, God is not afraid to allow your mind to ask questions as much as you can. He could have done something to limit our ability to ask questions. He left us. If you want to ask any questions, it does not change who He is. But it's good for us that we check what kind of questions we allow our minds to wonder. Because there are questions we ask and they are wrong questions and they get us into trouble. Into bigger trouble indeed. Confusion. For me, as I have said, if I don't understand it, I have chosen to obey and trust Him. I am very little to comprehend. I don't have the capacity to comprehend the deep, the width, and the height of the knowledge of God. In fact, it is mind-boggling. It is mind-blowing to imagine that nothing in this world misses God's attention. What manner of being is this our God? The number of hair in your head, He knows whatever the drops. How many million hairs do we have? Look at the trillion of galaxies. Look at the sea creatures. Look at the insects. Look at the birds. But nothing misses His attention. Is it what kind of a networking computer? I don't know. But one thing I know, I'm thankful.
He has given me enough that I can trust and obey. And I call you to do so. Let's control our thoughts. There are things we will never understand in this world, in this body, until when we are home with Him. Alright, back to the point. Lake of hellfire was not meant for you. What did the Word of God say or reveal in this word, in His word? Well, again, before I just go directly into that point, let me just say this, because it's good to have that good news for us. The thing here, God's desire towards His children that have sinned or are sinning. What is God's desire? Goodness, good things, goodness is always, it's good to have it before the bad one. When we look at John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, for God so loved before the judgment. Alright? Before the judgment, for God so loved the world. Let's read a couple of scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count them slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish. That's God's heart. But that all should reach repentance. I want you to get this truth seated in your heart. Know it, believe it. Understanding John 3:16 and other these promises will be gradual. It takes time to understand the things of God. But believing, knowing and believing are very important as we walk with the Lord. So after knowing this, God's desire towards a sinner, He never wants you to perish. He always wants you to come to repentance. Now that, let us now look at this question of lake of hellfire. Was it meant for who then? From the very beginning. And I'm saying, from my understanding, it is not meant for you. Right from the beginning. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Question. The word curse. Where did we hear that word curse? Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. That chapter of the fallout of man with God. Man, if you look at this one, man rebelled against God, disobeyed God. Man was not cursed. If you look at when God began to attend to this situation, man was not cursed. But how about Satan? He was cursed. He was cursed, and that is why it says, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the question here is, then He will say to those on His left, who are those on His left that will depart into the eternal fire? Prepare for who? The devil and his angels. Certainly, those on the left are not, in this text, are not Satan and the fallen angels, but men who refused to repent or rejected salvation. Therefore, man can come under a curse. That curse is simply rejecting Jesus Christ. And that means what? Continual living in sin. Continuous living in sin is a curse. John chapter 3, verse 18. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Then John chapter 3, verse 36. He says what again? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains in him. Or on him, rather. The wrath of God is not in heaven, in the presence of God. The wrath of God is on those that he will cast into the lake of hellfire, those who rejected Jesus Christ. Therefore, rejecting Jesus Christ is a curse. Living in sin, continually refusing to repent, is a curse. Therefore, whoever rejects the Son, whoever refuses to repent or reject Jesus Christ, is cursed. Now, Satan already clearly knows his destination. And I guess you should know your destination. Do you know your destination if you die today? Look, we should be free to talk about dying. If the love of God is in us and we believe and trust him. I'm not saying that we should be looking for death. But the word of God says dying, according to Paul, is gain. But I want to tell you the truth. Physical death will come after you if you're going to live a godly life. This is hard fact, but it's true. As I've said, Satan knows his destiny and he is looking for many that will follow him. I said follow because he cannot force you. He cannot force you. No one has the power to force you. God himself does not force you, even though he has the power, but he has decided to allow you to exercise your free will. It is absolutely your choice. There is always a process before the result. If you are in prison today, in bondage, yes, you need deliverance, but you went in there by your choice in the very first beginning. Ignorance is not an excuse. Therefore, hard as it could be, but I put it, if you find yourself in a lake of hellfire, it was your choice. Brothers and sisters, stop saying the temptation is too strong. Good enough you say temptation. You did not say the enemy came and bundled you and forced you into that sin, into that life. Rather, he coerced you, he tempted you. And you gave him. Giving in is a choice. And I pray that we will, from today, refuse those choices and go with confidence. He cannot force you. The next breaking news is of something related to this point. Lake of hellfire was not meant for you from the beginning. The fourth point is Satan has no power, no authority to cast you into hell. He can coerce you, he can tempt you to follow him, but he can never force you. All the issue of the number of the beast, now the vaccines to COVID-19, people are running helter-skelter, confused, and they are trying to force us to take the mark of the beast. Here is what I believe. It's still a choice to take that mark. It will be difficult and hard, but he has no right to force you. You can stand against it. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. So they can even force you. They can even kill you, but they cannot force you to take. It is in the heart. It's your decision. It continues in verse 5 of Luke chapter 12. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. It says what? Do not be afraid of those who kill. Who are those? Your enemies? Your friends that despise you? Your situation, your circumstance. He said, do not be afraid even when they kill you. And that is why the Hebrew children, They understood this. Stephen understood it. They never gave up. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, and it's true, before anything happens to you, before the enemy comes to attack you, he has to take permission from God. Why do I say so? Look at Job. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. The two times that the enemy appeared before the presence of God, he could not touch the property of Job. Because God gave him permission to go and destroy. But Job did not give him. And when the devil came back the second time, he told God, well, a man can give everything, his property, his wealth, save his skin. What is this revealing? This is quite revealing for me and should be revealing to you. That the enemy understands that you can serve God without wealth, property, and other things. Again, why are you dying for this? Brothers and sisters, even the second time, the enemy again incited God. He said, what? If you allow me to touch his skin, pain. And these are the two things that the enemy uses today to attack us, to cause us to turn against our God. As I've said, never allow anything to turn you against the lover of your soul. He loved you, and he will always be there to reconcile. Pain, wealth and prosperity, property, these are the things that the enemy will always touch on fire to see that whether you will turn against your God. But he knew a man can stand without these things, without wealth, without your property, and with pain, you can still serve God. Brothers, if God allows it, know it is a setup to fool the enemy. Victory is on your side. It's a setup for you to grow and know God better. It's a setup so that the name of the Lord will be glorified. So far, the summary for the breaking news points that we have so far discussed are: God never considered you an enemy, nor will he. You will certainly be saved through the life of his son. The second breaking news. The third one: the lake of hellfire was not meant for you. Thank God, hallelujah. And Satan has no power, no authority to cast you into the lake of hellfire. Let us go to the last point, which I believe is another point that will speak to us as good news. There is a pathway in your darkest moments. There is a pathway in your darkest moments. You see, when the Bible talks about light and darkness, the contrast, the point is driving at the reality of two things. Metaphorically, when you talk about darkness, it's not following God or rejecting salvation. It's described as walking in darkness instead of following the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Metaphorically, darkness could be the moment where there is no understanding and it does not make sense to keep on trusting and believing in God. Everything is literally falling apart. The promises of God seems literally broken. No hope, no inspiration. I'll be focusing on this second point. When you hit the wall, when there is no door, when it seems like God has forgotten about you. Brothers and sisters, the truth is this: we are living in the darkest period of humanity. Forget about the dark ages of human civilization. We are living in the times where everything that is wrong is not right. Left is not right. You don't like your natural sex, you change it. It's okay, it's right, it's your freedom. You can worship God at your own times, it's okay. You can give tithes and offering at your own times, it's okay. Sex before marriage is okay. Abortion is all right. It's your right. It's your body.
I can tell you, we are in that time where Isaiah says in chapter 60, verse 2, see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Look at Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. It says what? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They are brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They all have form of godliness but denying its power. Paul was telling Timothy, have nothing to do with such. But today, no. We want to be in their company. We want them to be our friends. We grew up together. It's all right. I tell you, these are the things that causes darkness in our generation. Heavy darkness. More than the darkness that was in Egypt during the plagues. The darkness in the heart. We are blind. But thank God, there is a pathway in the dark alley. In that tunnel where you are. In that deep valley where you are. There is light. Look up. John chapter 8 verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Will never walk in darkness, no matter how dark it is. But will have the light of life. Where I just quoted in that Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2. I only read verse 2a. The remaining part of that verse is, but the Lord has risen upon you and his glory appears over you. And therefore, whoever received Jesus Christ has received light into his heart. That is why it says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You are light. Brother, sister, you are light. The light of God shines in you. No matter how dark, that is what it says. No matter how evil abounds, grace will abound in high measures. Well, I just want us to be realistic. There are those moments in our lives, even though we have this light of God in us, the word of God, we believe in him, we trust in him. There are still those moments where we feel rejected, abandoned. Moments that you cannot see from the inside. I mean to say, you cannot understand. And I've been saying there are moments knowing and believing is more than understanding. And this is encouraging for all of us who are groping in the darkness, who have trusted in the Lord, to not give up. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. This is from the Lord to you and me. It says what? Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Listen to faithful servants in the house of God that direct you and give you instruction. Say, let the one who walks in the dark, the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who believes in God, the one who is holding steadfastly to the promises of God. Yes, physical reality, there are things that are not working out for you. It says, well, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord. All that is required in this dark moment that you are in or about to face in is to what? Trust in the name of the Lord. And rely on God. That's the truth. That's the truth.
Because the one that is ahead of you, in Psalms 139 verse 12, it says, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Brothers and sisters, the one that is ahead of you, darkness is as light to him. Yes, in those moments when you are in despair, it says, Psalms 50 verse 50, it says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you so that you will honor me. I will deliver you. I will secure you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. Yes, most of the time, we want to quote Psalms 50 verse 15. But it starts with the word "and." Then go back to chapter 14 to see how that "and" was connected before those promises. It says in verse 14 of Psalms 50, it says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vow to the Most High. What are the vows? To trust Him. To obey Him. Even though it doesn't make sense. Even though you don't understand. Do you believe in His promises? You see, you don't have to see before you can walk. My brother, my sister, my children. You don't have to see before you can walk, but you can be led. Hold on the hand of Him that knows tomorrow. He has gone through this path, this terrain. He knows. You can rely on Him. He can lead the way. He's not blind. You may be blind, but He's ahead of you. Finally, don't wait until the day of trouble before you call on Him. Call on Him while He may be found. Call on Him in your room right now. Trust in Him. Remember, God never considered you an enemy, nor will He. And certainly you will be saved through the life of His Son if you continue to remain in Him. Get it right. Don't be afraid. Lake of hellfire was not meant for you. It's not meant for you. And Satan has no power. Nobody has authority and power to cast you into hell. And as we have just seen, there is a path in your darkest moment. Brothers and sisters, this, I believe, a good breaking news for all of us. Be confident of this reality. He that began a good work in you will carry it out to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.